This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
I'll go to Nobservations if and when I want to go to Nobservations.
These.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Are Nobs.
Playoffs? What talk about? Playoffs?
And this.
Have a nice fight, Mike.
Is Nobservations.
Listen to me, Pepito. You stay away from my wife.
That's right. Well, right after Pitino.
I'll do it again.
Pitino jumped right out of the bushes.
Right out of the bushes.
At Grand Central Park.
It was The loop, the running loop, the reservoir. Yeah.
An observation's driven by Ramsey Mazda.
Nice. I was dating Sherry.
Yeah.
And was trying to impress her. And we ran the loop. I thought there was a decent chance I was going to die. I said, she's like, let's go again. I was like, no, you go on. I'll wait for you here.
How's the whole not eating thing going?
It's going.
That's good.
A little busy this morning, but I think we're past that.
Yeah.
It's going good.
That's healthy.
Yeah.
Good sign.
You know, when I weigh in on Sunday, it'll all be worth it.
I'd rather be fat.
No, that's not what I
put myself through. What you're putting yourself through.
It's a lot more fun to be fat.
Way more fun.
Yeah.
I've never been happier. Cassie pregnant, I gained like 50 pounds.
Yeah, but you look gross. So,
come on. Is it that bad?
No, I didn't see you then.
It was bad.
But you get jowls, you don't look well.
Yeah, you on TV,
you've
too.
Run the gauntlet.
Yeah.
You've been like skinny that doesn't look well. You've been fat where it's you're right good right now.
The skinny was the real tough one.
You like the what's her face in the Bears. Now you're right. You're right in a good spot. What's her name? That girl.
For where? Who?
The girl with the three Bears.
Oh,
Goldilocks. Goldilocks. Yeah, Goldilocks. Right.
I thought that was a trick question.
No.
For a second.
Yeah, that Goldilocks.
You're like Goldilocks.
Thank you. Yeah.
So before we get into some of the sports stories, we have to address this.
Uh oh.
Dave, how would you say last week went with your friend Dan Grasso?
I thought we did very well.
You know what's tough?
What?
That sentiment is not shared. Not shared.
He didn't enjoy doing the show?
I don't know. You tell me. This is from a couple of days ago on his program, which follows the K-Show.
It's a big undertaking. I had to carry Dave all week. It's not easy to be able to do my job and then half of his.
Wow.
Oh, really?
That's your buddy.
Wow.
Was. Wait, you know what? Here's the thing. I try to buoy his piddling career by bringing him into the bosom of the morning show. And I've enjoyed the time we've done that together. But I think that's done.
It's over.
Oh, he's out.
Yeah, I think so. Wow. How can I bring him back after he says that? RJ, had I said anything negative whatsoever about Dan?
Not one.
And for him to take unsolicited shots at me like that, I got to carry him?
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough.
He did half your job, he said.
Yeah, so he did all of your job and half of mine. Well, you know what? Next time Grasso wants to join the morning show, why don't I just check out? I'll sleep in. He can do the show.
He's by himself.
Yeah.
You can meet Cole Hardman. Just check right out.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Just sit in front of the microphone and say a word.
You give him an opportunity.
So, are you familiar, and this is strange, with Chiefsaholic?
Yes. He's in jail.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, that's not the guy that...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
That's okay. Him. Yep.
So,
yep.
He's a Chiefs super fan. He
right.
Dresses up in like a wolf head
yep.
outfit
yep. Yep.
for game day. He's very strange.
And he got like arrested. They had him for
crimes.
Something recently.
Yeah.
He commits crimes in the outfit.
He pled guilty in federal court and was charged with a string of 11 robberies or attempted robberies that stretched across 7 states. So he's like Ira, but like a vandal. Like he goes to the game.
Imagine if Ira was robbing places. Yeah,
but Ira doesn't dress up as a wolf.
In his Jets bikini.
If Ira dressed up in like a Jets outfit and robbed banks.
Give me all your money.
He just like cased a bank.
And just
that
his little RJ just, comes, just he comes packaged in there.
Comes flying into the bank.
Ira, the scourge of the East Coast.
Give me all your money.
Give me all your money. We have audio of that.
Give me all your money.
Yeah. So anyways, his name is Xavier Bobadour. I'm not making this up.
Xavier Bobadour? Yep.
Bobadour.
So this is his lawyer, you're about to hear, who is a real person. You're going to think I made this up. This is a real person. Matthew Merriman, who apparently has been...
This is going to be great, isn't it?
Who apparently has been granted permission to practice law. Which is, this is troubling. People are out there defending people. But I guess it makes sense. Strange Chiefs super Wolfman superfan defended by this man. This is Matthew Merriman, and this is his cry to the media as to why they should feel sorry for his client.
From the beginning of this case, folks, the government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure. He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up in court, humble and repentant, and admitted what he had done. Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chiefs Kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic, we know that he doesn't give up. We know that if he stumbled and he fell, he didn't let his knee touch the ground. And that's because he's capable of doing a great thing. And he knows that there's still hope. We still have a lot of work to do on his case, but Xavier wants everyone to know that he loves the Chiefs Kingdom, he loves Kansas City, and he hopes that you'll rally to his support. Thank you and God bless.
No, that's Better Call Saul. It's got to be. Come on.
That's a real attorney?
I swear.
That's Saul Goodman.
I think he did this. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is the one that they filmed outside. He's like on the steps
yes.
of the court.
Yes. I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, "What is this nonsense?" But that's what it was, I guess.
That's what it was.
He stepped into the pressure,
but his knee didn't hit the ground.
Hit the ground.
Now, clearly, this is like a PR move, right? These guys are trying to garner attention,
yes. Right?
Now, is this the Wonder fan? Is he beloved by Chiefs fans or no?
I think he was. I don't know where he stands currently.
I don't know. It felt like he was tolerated.
Yeah.
Maybe not beloved. I don't know if beloved is the right word.
It's not like a crime spree.
Kind of like Fireman Ed, you know?
Yeah, but Fireman Ed has never robbed places.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, Fireman Ed is beloved. I don't know that they, you know.
I think Fireman Ed is polarizing. I think there's a lot of people that can't stand him.
Yeah, so this guy's probably more like him than anything. By
the way, this topic of conversation would be great for Fireman Ed. He grew up a big Dolphins fan, and now he jumped ship to the Jets.
Oh, that's right.
So you can take shots. That's what we're going to do today?
Well, he's.
So he's going to join the McCall Harbin party. Just take shots at my Jets all day. How are you going after Fire Marshal?
Fire Marshal.
I mean, get in line.
Fireman Ed. Let me show you something,
Raymond. You agree with me? I'm not the first one that hasn't.
No, this is something that he's been called out for that many times.
And then didn't
times.
He like abandon the Jets too? He stopped going to games a couple years ago.
Yeah, at one point he said he was going to stop dressing up, stop doing the chants, all that stuff. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh no! How will we go on?
Stop it!
Wow.
What?
Going after Ed?
I am the Giants.
Yep, that was a real thing. So, I also saw this.
Hang on.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
We know what's coming.
Are you ready for it?
I'm
ready
for it. Yeah, let's go. Know.
All right, you're listening to DNR, DiPietro at Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN FM, New York.
You know, it's tough. I kind of gave you a second to let it breathe.
No, you actually really didn't.
No.
You steamrolled when I
no,
was trying to get
texting.
That before.
It's because he's texting.
I've texted nobody.
That's all he does.
No, nope. it's a motion and timing-dependent offense. It's like you're coming across in motion. And that's the part where I take the ball and I fake it to you, but you weren't even there. You were just standing on the other side looking at me.
Wasn't there.
You're like, Zach Wilson trying to read the defense.
You should have done it yourself, RJ. That's what you should have done.
You know what? RJ, from now on, observations, DHIF, you can run it.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know that you can handle the ID.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Sauce tweeted yesterday, just finished my workout. On my way to do my very first shirtless podcast. Which is a shot.
Taking shots.
Deion Dawkins of the Bills, who was shirtless when he took shots at all of the Jets besides Quinnen Williams.
Sauce has a lot to say.
He does.
Yeah.
But he if does. Anyone
he's
is allowed to.
He's not afraid to defend his team.
If anyone's allowed to, though.
Oh, he's terrific.
Yeah.
See, I would like all of this stuff if we just had a little bit more winning to sprinkle into it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you something? Serious question. So inside a locker room, young player like Sauce, tremendously talented. Recognized for his talents. How does all this play with someone he, Garrett Wilson, where eventually, we're not there yet, they will need new contracts. They will have options in theory. At least one of them will. Does it rub you the wrong way over time, or is it when the time comes to just get a bag, you get a bag?
As far as what?
Would they consider leaving?
Correct. Would they consider leaving?
Yeah.
Of the two, I would say most likely to leave would probably be Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of...
He's kind of poked at it.
Sent some sprinklings down there of that.
Does that concern you at all?
It does.
And also, Sauce is not dependent on what the quarterback is doing.
No, the
Garrett
defense
is
great. And he's also getting all the accolades he feels like he deserves.
Right.
I think Garrett Wilson thought this season that he'd kind of take that next step to be in...
It could change this year, though.
It could.
Who do you think would have the bigger market? And that sounds crazy.
Sauce.
See, that sounds crazy, but you look at Garrett, what he's done with Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson.
I think Garrett's awesome.
You see what wide receivers are getting paid right now, too?
But how many guys like Sauce are there?
There's not a lot.
How many guys like Garrett Wilson are there?
More, but right. He has done it with, like, the...
You're asking a question. I think that Sauce is more the commodity because there's fewer of him.
Okay.
I think they play positions that were both are commodities.
Totally agree.
Yeah,
they're both $20 million players.
This is not
absolutely. I'm just saying, like, if you ask me,
wait till you see what Justin Jefferson's going to sign for.
Right, a fortune. But if you ask me, and I need receiver and corner, which would you rather have? I would say Sauce Gardner.
You answered. So you're familiar with The Last Dance, correct?
The Bulls documentary.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, a couple other guys.
They're doing a traveling show, aren't they?
Yeah, they got
Noble.
A real...
What do you mean, a traveling show?
Well, they got a real problem with how that story was told. And they now are going on tour, the No Bull Tour, which is well-named. And they are telling their side of the 90s Bulls in response to The Last Dance, which Michael Jordan obviously had heavy, heavy say in.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
Here is Horace Grant.
I speak my mind.
Yes, you do.
And it's going to be a no tour. I tell you this, the X Factor in the first three and the second three, I would have kicked Dennis Rodman.
I'd like to have seen that.
Wow. Physical violence.
Wow.
That's interesting, though. I wonder, like, they're touring, going to, like, not arenas, but, like...
Yeah, where's it going to start? Where are they starting, RJ?
Should start in Chicago,
no,
right?
No, I don't think it's starting in Chicago.
No.
I think it's starting. Is it
I wonder
starting
if there's going to be Q and A's at the end of this thing.
I would imagine.
That's I. You know, I'd be interested to go to that.
You know that clip when Jordan gets the iPad and he's just laughing at it.
Yeah,
like that's probably his reaction.
So I believe
it's in a different country, isn't it? Starting.
Yeah.
Australia.
I think so. I'm trying to.
I thought I read that right.
Luke Longley's on this tour.
That was him on the
New Mexico.
I'd like to see that, mate.
Yeah, Melbourne, Australia, yep. Sydney.
Well, this is an international run.
That's right, bring international
trumpet,
tour.
Play the song.
That's right. Play the song.
Did he really pretend to be Oscar Pistorius?
He did.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was tough.
He did.
I mean, really? Yeah. You allow that?
Well, I brought him up and he ran with it, yeah.
He kept going there was the thing. I thought, like, maybe you stay away from
right.
No, no.
Then he kind of like, oh, what did he keep saying? Who's that in the loop?
He played it for me this morning when we were going through the Open. I was like, he really did that?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he's a freak.
It's like people sit in my seat and all of a sudden they think that they can do
anything.
Right in the...
Yeah. Beer goggles sitting in that seat.
Oh, me, somebody's in the loo. Better see who it is.
Somebody's in the loo.
By the way, you know who wrote that song?
Stop it! Stay on script!
You're not supposed to do that.
Even Ray was like, you're not supposed to.
You hear what he
it.
Said? But he's like, who wrote the song?
Let me hear that. He's, oh, me.
By the way, you know who wrote that song?
Stop it! Stay on script!
You're not supposed to do that.
I love Ray going, you're scolding him. You're not supposed to do that. No, do the other one. He's like,
oh, me. Somebody's in the loo. Better see who it is.
Me?
Oh, me, somebody's in the loo. Better see who it is.
It's not a situation to joke about.
I don't think you joke about that.
It's not a situation to joke about, but have you ever said anything to the effect of, like, oh, me?
No. I've never pretended to use that voice.
Yeah, and the South African accent is the same as the Australian accent.
It's all-encompassing.
It really is. 2022, you remember that year.
They should probably lock him in one of the rooms in his house that he doesn't use.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Well, he'd never be found, though. He doesn't know how many he has.
He's moving from a home where they don't use the rooms they're in now.
They need more.
Bring Why? Me trumpet, play the song.
I don't know. Trumpets.
It makes no sense.
Well, maybe all his different personalities.
Oh.
Like the rooms.
That movie. What was that movie?
Oh, I know what you're talking
23
about.
23 or something? Split, yeah, where they got like 23 different personalities.
That's a lot to keep track of.
That's a true story.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's great. So, 2022, Golden State Warriors win their fourth title, 8 years. You remember this. Remember that team was Juwan Morgan. That team, I mean the Celtics. At one point, you may remember, Celtics led the Warriors 2-1 after game 3. Feeling pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Juwan Morgan shared a story on the Run Your Race podcast about right when that game ended, Warriors trailing 2-1 to the Celtics. What Steph Curry said to some guys on the Celtics bench.
So we sitting there, and he looked. He just like, enjoy y'all last win.
Drop the mic.
That was game three. And I was just like, like us? Like it's 2-1. Like, what you mean? Like, I'm sitting here like this. I'm like, man, what size am I? Like, yeah. Look, I need my ring size. Yeah, nah. Quiet. It was
bro,
quiet.
He couldn't lose, bro. He couldn't lose that series.
Mm-mm. He said then I was just like, and like in my head, I'm thinking, like, this kept me up at night. I'm like, did he? I'm like, nah, he ain't say that.
Imagine losing a game in the final saying, enjoy your last win.
No. He's one of those guys has a lot to say.
Who, Steph?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, he's sneaky.
He's a
almost arrogant,
good trash talker.
He deserves to be.
That's moving like a G, though. That's not in silence. He didn't say at the podium. Down 2-1, enjoyed the last win.
And he believed it.
Yeah.
That's Michael Jordan level stuff.
That was going to be their last win.
And it was.
And he kept guys on the Celtics up being like, wait, he didn't say that.
What does he know? He knows something.
And then you believe it. Pretty crazy. You familiar with Tim Mesa?
Yes, the Blue Jays?
Yeah, pitcher. Well done. Do you know why I'm bringing him up?
Fantasy football loss.
So, Toronto Blue Jays have a fantasy football league of which Tim Mesa finished dead last. He finished 4-10. And much like us here, they are men of integrity. They pay off the
They're actually going to pay it off.
I'm going to pay it off.
When?
Over the summer?
Okay.
All right.
Before next football season kicks off, it'll be paid off.
Well, make sure you and little RJ are ready.
Okay.
Not me.
No,
not you, Mike.
Yeah.
His renamed appendage.
His wiener. What?
Nothing to the imagination. Yeah. So, Tim Mesa finished 4-10, and the punishment agreed upon in the Blue Jays clubhouse was whoever lost had to go out in a spring training game, which was paid off this week, as the bat boy. And in place of their actual number, which is 58, he had his fantasy football record on the back. So
that's a great punishment.
Mesa, 4-10. Here's how the broadcasters reacted when they saw it.
And there's Tim.
4-10 Mesa. He's going to be 4-10 for the rest of the season.
It's good motivation, though. You know, you get in the lab and get a better team going next year.
Got to tell you, baseball players take fantasy football serious.
They love it.
I mean, a man was punched in the face about it, or slapped in the face.
Dude, athletes in general, man.
Well, fantasy football is the best.
Guys, I was invited real serious.
Into a league at work here.
Where?
Here.
Like an ESPN league or this league?
An ESPN league.
Like a rival spinoff league?
No. Troy has invited me into a league and said, would you or any of the guys like to join the league? So maybe we'll talk about that.
Yeah, but what kind of league? We already
fantasy
have our
baseball.
Own league, though. Oh, base? No, baseball, yeah. No.
No?
It's too much work.
My kids have great fantasy football punishments. Ben's group of friends, they had to do a milk mile. Where
every
quarter, every lap you do, you have to drink like a quart of milk.
Oh,
and they were thrown up by the... He didn't have to do it, but they were thrown up by like the third lap. And then Alex's, which they have not done
that's
yet.
That's the dog cage one?
Yeah, into the
that's
dog
brutal.
Cage.
And they just throw...
And they can throw whatever you want on them.
I got to tell you, that would actually be a great punishment for our picks. The loser has to be a bat boy. It has to be a bat boy for... Like, you'd have to be a bat boy for the Yankees.
Ugh.
Dressed in full Yankee uniform with the stupid helmet on. Be so funny.
Yeah, but could we get that done?
Watching you waddle out to get a bat.
Why would I waddle? I'm not a penguin.
We could do a... Kay could probably... I bet Kay could set up for spring training, like a spring training game. Where you have to sit... Or you're a ball boy in the
It's going to be more embarrassing.
Singing the anthem.
That'd be bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
That is
bad. Oh, would that like be Carl good? Lewis reminiscing.
Oh, would that be good? Watching you sing the anthem.
Oh, that'd be very bad.
Taking an Uber to and from your own bank robbery.
Did it happen?
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
In Florida.
The Florida Panthers, I was coaching.
Yeah.
You don't care.
No.
Don't care. This from our number one correspondent.
Ray Dean
Ann. That's right.
He loves this segment.
Loves it.
He's great at it.
He's a great human being.
He really is.
He really is.
So, this actually hits very close to home. All of us. We're content producers, but we are at our core a radio station. Yes?
Yes.
So, there are many radio stations around the country. Thousands, in fact. So, what happens when the station tower that transmits the signal disappears in the middle of the night?
But someone stole the station tower?
The whole tower.
How?
How tall do you think a radio station tower is?
50 feet?
200 feet.
To have any sort of signal, you got to be up there.
200-foot radio station tower, up and gone, middle of the night, station off the air. They come into work, but much like us, morning show, oh, we're not on the air, that's weird. Get to the bottom of it, go out to the transmitter site, gone.
Wonder what that's like.
Just gone.
And where do you put a station tower?
I don't know, but the radio station in this place put out a statement. They said they stole everything. They stole every piece of equipment. They cut the wires to the tower and somehow managed to take a 200-foot radio tower.
Can I ask you a question?
Hopefully it's found.
Why would you even want that?
This is an unsolved mystery as of yet, right?
Yes.
Okay. Like, what would be the rationale behind that, though? Do you now use the tower for your own station?
Yeah, I don't think you can just set it up and set up your own like pirate station. Parts, I'm guessing?
I don't even know.
I don't know what the black market kind of demand is for radio station towers.
Yeah, there's always a demand for parts, right?
So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
I'm going to say no.
All right.
I'm going to say international.
International radio?
Yeah.
Okay. Radio pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to say not Florida, but I'm going to disagree with Dave. I think it's in this country.
Domestic radio pirates.
Would you like to pinpoint where in this country?
No.
Like a region?
No.
Okay.
This country, though.
Raymond.
I really want to say Florida in this, but I do think it's the United States for sure. Definitely in the United States. I'm going to say it's somewhere in the South, but not Florida.
Okay.
All right. You're all correct.
Nice.
Alabama.
Oh.
WJLX.
That's like a different country.
No, it's not.
I mean, kinda.
Stop.
Different country. Well, good job by all of you. That is Knobs and DF, driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
You're very good.
I'm okay.
You do a really good job.
I could be better.
Got a text from Ben's former baseball coach. He said scrap metal is what that sold off for.
Oh, the radio tower?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You think he knows something?
The 50-foot one.
You think that guy knows something?
It sounds like he's in.
The 50-footer? Maybe he's the one that stole it.
You think?
Maybe.
But he lives up here.
Stole the copper pipes
You can't drive to Alabama?
Traveled internationally down to Bama and took that thing?
Is stealing copper pipes still a thing?
I don't know.
I mean, you live in a wealthy neighborhood. You got to keep up with the Joneses, you know? Need that money from somewhere.
If I stole a radio tower...
you pull into Dave's cul-de-sac and there's a big... The 200-foot radio tower.
But I wouldn't even know what to do.
His neighbor's backyard.
If I ever was a mastermind thief, which I probably would be very good at.
No, you wouldn't.
Right? Diamonds. I got diamonds falling out of my pockets. I wouldn't even know what to do to sell that kind of stuff.
Well, I think that's part of the plan going into stealing it. Like, this is what we're going to do with the 200-foot radio tower is we're going to, you know, break it down and sell it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know what... Like, I wouldn't know what...
You randomly call. Like, hey, let's go steal that. Now what do you do?
You think this is like a full game plan? Like, first we steal it, then we scrap it down, then we sell it.
I think the game plan comes first. Once we steal it, this is what we do. And then we steal it.
So they have an order of procedure of what they're going
to
do.
And make sure you don't have Mecole Hardman in your little... group.
Because he'll spill the beans.
He'll leak it right to the police.
Right. Officer Johnson.
Listen.
Here's what they're going to do.
We're going to steal that radio tower.
Uh-huh.
Be ready.
They think there's a reward for the radio tower?
No. I don't think so. The radio tower can't be in. It's not one piece anymore. Where are you going to keep that?
I don't know.
Where are you going to keep a 200-foot radio tower?
200 feet's big.
No, the second you steal that thing's going to be
chop
hacked.
That thing
gonna
up.
Hack that thing
but where,
up.
Where do you take it to?
Chop shop.
200-foot radio tower? Well, how do you get it to a chop shop?
Yeah, what do they put it on, RJ?
Nobody.
Like a flatbed?
You can't
lift it up.
200-foot flatbed?
Is it a helicopter?
They had to
disassemble
it, yeah.
How much time would that take?
Yeah. Clearly they had no fear
more.
Of...
Get a hold of Dinahan. I want more to the story.
But you don't know that Dinahan has all sorts of knowledge on this.
If anyone would.
You think Dino's involved?
No.
Probably.
No, he would. I think he's got the capacity mentally to set it up, but there's no way.
Yeah, Dinahan would be a great like Lex Luthor.
Yeah, mastermind.
Dino is the man in the chair.
Yep,
great Lex Luthor. Like he would be the puppet master. Here's what you do. Here's where you set up.
And you'd be a good gimp, like a guy that comes in,
a singing gimp.
No, yes, master.
So I'd be like the
He'd be the guy
what
in
was
Pulp
that
Fiction.
De Niro movie?
No, not the guy in Pulp Fiction that comes out of the closet. I mean, like the little...
No,
like,
no, come on. Raymond, like what is wrong?
The helper.
You said no, Gimp.
You know what I mean.
Worm in Rounders.
Yes, that's what you mean.
Ed Norton. Yeah. You ever see the movie where he hobbles?
Yes, that's what you mean.
And
like.
They think he's like troubled the whole way through, and then he realizes like he's not. This is just an act.
Yeah.
I can act.
Yeah, I guess.
Why do you have to be so mean to me?
I just think that you would be kind of like the helper.
No, I see myself as more of the overseer.
I'm not sure we could give you too much of the plan.
Why?
As soon as things went sideways, even a little, you'd be Miko Hardman.
Immediately.
Here's our playbook. What do you need?
I think if I was up against it, it was like me or you guys, I could sing. But
you
I
could would.
But I don't think I would preemptively go to the police and say, listen to what the guys did.
No, I think if there was any thought that this could go sideways.
No.
Yes.
Not thought it could. If I was brought into the police station and they started to under hot lights and it was getting very warm, interrogate me.
It wouldn't take that.
Yeah, then I think it's like, all right, so here's how it went down.
No, you'd be standing outside as a lookout man and somebody'd be like getting written a parking ticket and you'd be like, hey. Here's what's going on.
No. Now, you're outside as a lookout man.
If this thing goes wrong,
here's what you need to know.
Yeah. It's Rick.
Just go to the corner. Hey, go to the corner RJ. Of Mott and Broadway. That's the getaway route. You'll catch him right there.
I don't think so. I think I'd be good as a getaway guy.
No.
A getaway driver. Because I'm a really good driver.
You can't back up.
No, I can't back up for a full block.
Okay,
if we go down 70th Street and there's an oil truck there and we're trying to get away and they like back up all the way, then we're gonna have an issue.
Well, no, but you watch these car chase movies where all of a sudden like at some point they're catching on that you're in a car chase and then they're gonna barricade the road. What are you gonna do? You have to back up now.
Then you don't want me.
Are you gonna pull a 3-point turn?
I would have to.
No, you can't.
I would have to, but. In a situation like that,
backwards.
In a situation like that, you're not concerned about maybe taking off a mirror or hitting your car at all. So now I just back up, you know, free of any concern.
Yeah, but you don't want to get in such, I mean, you can do so much damage to the car that you're not going to be able to go again.
Well, I think the car will go.
Well, a tire falls off or something stupid because you can't go backwards straight.
So you think you can back up one full block fast?
Fast.
RJ, you think you can back up one full block quickly?
I mean, probably not, but I need you to be sure of what you're doing.
Yeah, but... Why would this happen?
I need you full speed, then you'd be able to.
I'd be like
it.
In the Italian Job. My little Fiat.
It was not a Fiat.
Whatever it was.
It was a Mini Cooper. Cooper.
Oh, whatever. Spin that bad boy. Gone straight.
Let's go to, you mentioned him. He called.
Ira.
Ira Staten Island. Hi, Ira.
Hey, what's happening, boys? How are you?
Good.
Yesterday, you know, you can't take much out of what Douglas said, but it just sounded like he almost had a defeatist attitude. Well, we got a lot of work to do. We got holes to fill. I mean, he had he got to give the fan base a little more optimism than the way he spoke. And listen, the Zach thing, you know.
But Ira, does it really matter? Like, if he goes out and has a bad offseason and the Jets stink and his moves don't work, you're going to hate him. And if he goes out and he has a great offseason and the Jets go to the AFC Championship game, you're going to love him. Does it? And I agree with you. I'd like to hear a little more juice from him. But ultimately, does it really matter what he sounded like on February 28th?
No, not really. But, you know, as a fan and you follow it, you invest a lot of money, a lot of time. You just want to be a little more upbeat. And, you know, not realistically, but like you said, ultimately it doesn't. But it's nice to be a little more positive when you talk than sound like, you know, you're doing it because they're pulling teeth out of your mouth. And then the other thing. With the Hardman situation, you see, that's the thing that really bugs me. And I get it. You know, he's protecting the organization. But at the end of the day, you know, I think Hardman maybe had a couple of, you know, gripes to fill. But he told it the way it is. And The Athletic, that article, that told everything. I mean, that offensive side of the ball is a disaster. And just the fact, you know, which concerns me, that they haven't even filled up the coaching staff yet. And they're going to the combine now. That's a really bad look. That means people don't want to come here, and that really concerns.
Well, why would you though, Ira? Why would you? I mean,
I wouldn't.
Well, right, because I mean, it could be 1 year and you're done. Yeah, I mean, there's no stability here.
No, so you take that and you put that with an offensive coordinator that I think is in over his head. So basically, it goes back to what we've talked about for over a year. Aaron Rodgers is basically running the offensive side of the ball.
But we know that.
He's calling the shots.
I know that.
And at the end of the day, man, I so hope I'm wrong. And I hope they make the playoffs and they make some type of run. But as a football person, I just have a bad vibe about what's going on over there.
You know what's funny, Ira? And thank you for the phone call. Ira's diehard as they come with Jets fans. Another diehard Jets fan we know yesterday said the same thing. Says the same feeling. And he claims he's a bigger football fan than you are.
Which you laugh at.
Laugh at. But he says, I mean, he says he likes the Jets as much as you like the Giants. And he said that yesterday. That he has a bad feeling.
Well, outside of you love them, how could you have any confidence right now?
Because I think even good Aaron Rodgers, not great Aaron Rodgers, is so much better than what we've had. That, with the combination of our defense, is going to be good enough.
And that you're banking on that. But you wouldn't be shocked if it was bad. I mean, what happens if Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the verge of 41 when they kick off the season?
Yeah, but he had a full year off.
But what happens?
You know, Connor said he looks great.
Okay, but what happens if he's not great?
Oh, then we're screwed.
I mean, you're right. If Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers from 5 years ago, and you fix the offensive line a little bit, this offense is going to be really
good.
But
I don't even need Aaron Rodgers from 5 years ago with how bad it's been.
But you need good Aaron Rodgers.
You need good Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you need MVP caliber Aaron Rodgers. Right. We need good Aaron Rodgers.
So give me good Aaron Rodgers, but here's the thing. Can you get ultimately that good Aaron Rodgers if
you don't fix the offensive line?
If the offensive line is not good. I don't know that the answer is yes.
You'll be hard-pressed to, but...
So there's a lot of work to be done here.
Right. That's why we said earlier in the show, the most pressure's on Joe Douglas.
And by the way, I heard people talking yesterday of, do you trade for an offensive lineman? Do you sign an offensive lineman? Or do you draft an offensive lineman? You're not trading for an offensive lineman. Teams are not trading you really good offensive linemen.
No, I think you're going to draft one.
Yes.
And you'll sign two.
That's right.
Yeah.
But take and trade
and
throw it out
the window. What you're doing with AVT. Where you want to put him, where he's most comfortable, where he can stay healthy.
So
try to stay healthy.
Could it be a, because you think he's competent anyway, right?
Who?
AVT.
I think he's great.
Right. So could you say to him, I need you next year at tackle because it's such a hard position to fill, but in the long-term future, we'll move you back to guard? Because to think you get back any two tackles.
I think he wants to be settled in one position, though.
Probably so.
I think that's what he would like.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Got an email from Dove. He says, you're the most confusing person in the world on the radio, possibly in the universe. You can go from...
You are?
Yeah. He says you go from intellectual, salient, genius, educated points to sound like you belong in an institution. Rick, you're perfect. Never change. All the best, Dove.
I think that pretty much encapsulates who you are, though.
Yeah, but I think that's good.
Yeah, I mean, you are.
Like, I can go in any direction.
No, but I think you are a savant that probably needs to be institutionalized.
Wait, what?
I think you.
You think I need to be institutionalized?
Could be.
No. Why?
Because I think you sit down with a therapist and there's some real concern. That this guy's got some real issues.
But okay, even if I do have real issues, institutionalized would assume that I either I'm going to hurt myself or someone else.
Well, it could happen.
Really?
Just checking. I'm not saying like for an extended period, but maybe a couple weeks.
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
For observation.
That's not nice, though.
I realize it's not nice, but I mean, let's call it what it
is. RJ, I've suggested this in the past, and it's always been discussed, let's bring in someone to really psychoanalyze me and get to the bottom of what's going on.
You know what? For the first time, I think maybe if we find the right person.
It could change him. Like, God forbid, we're like, you have this breakthrough on the air where he breaks down, he's crying, he's weeping.
That's not going to happen.
And then we get him next week, and he's a completely different person.
Maybe it's in a good way.
Yeah, but maybe I'm a better version of me.
You know what it's like?
A kinder, gentler version.
It's like Major League 2 when Serrano comes back, and now he's a Buddhist.
See, he's only concerned about the show.
That's what we all concerned about.
No, I think others care about me as a human being. No.
I have to wake up back.
Yes. Well, I need hats for bats.
To that point, though, what if, like your kids and Sherry, this is what they know and love, though? Like, if you come in and all of a sudden now, like, you're available on Sundays to hang out, you'd freak them out.
It's too much.
you could dig up Dr. Freud, and I'm not going to say, you know what? Let's go to the park on this Sunday and have a picnic of ham and cheese sandwiches.
You never know.
I'm pretty confident.
You never know.
You have no matters.
Pretty confident.
I don't want to risk it.
So, RJ, find a good therapist, a reputable therapist. We'll get them in studio. We'll do a full breakdown.
I don't like it.
No, I love it.
We tried to do the segment with Sherry, and it was a flop.
It would be great radio.
No, it wouldn't.
You don't think?
Nope.
Raymond, you think?
It could be good, but it could also be bad. It could also
go real bad.
RJ, if you look at RJ, you can see that the wheels are turning, and he's thinking to himself, "This has the potential to be elite."
I'm not ready to sit here and dismiss it.
It's like what Mecole Hardman did, right? Just won the Super Bowl. It's his third Super Bowl.
Right.
Feels a certain way about the Jets. Going to use this opportunity on the pivot when asked the question to really start taking some shots at the Jets.
Right.
In his mind, went well. Didn't realize. All of a sudden, it was going to come out that he's leaking game plans to the Eagles and the Chiefs.
Right. Not good.
Not good at all for
him. But I tell you everything. I don't have anything to hide.
But there's stuff that you may have stored inside that you kind of put away and don't realize. That's the whole point of therapy.
RJ, what are you thinking?
I have concerns now, though.
How could you not?
Rick brings up some great points. Because what if you come in and like all your sports takes are like, you know what? Both teams tried hard. They left it out there. I'm not going to get on the Jets.
And that's all that matters.
Are you guys out of your minds?
The teams can be proud at the end of the day.
All right. Then we won't do it.
It's valid.
It's okay, guys. Keep fighting.
You did great.
Or we need to find the right therapist that will just validate him for all his thoughts and maybe push him to the next level higher.
Yeah, what happens if I become a better version of what I am?
Maybe Cassie's sister could do that.
And that's the other side why it could work very well, Rick, is that, you know, if anything, Dave, instead of having those barriers broken down, they get built even stronger.
Right, like, maybe I clench and I become more of who I am.
Maybe instead of the therapist breaking Dave breaks the therapist.
It's more likely to happen. That's much more likely to happen.
The therapist is leaving like, I've never seen anything like it.
Therapist leaves in the straitjacket.
Yeah.
You know what I think we do need to get to the bottom of, though?
What?
And I'm not even exactly sure how we do this, because I've witnessed something percolating over the last couple of maybe even months.
My relationship with Grandma Bubbles?
I haven't seen that.
Right. And you know, but Rick's so funny and clever. Look at him. He's so ahead of the curve, making love to an older grandmother. That's great stuff. But I call a spade a spade. His wife is throwing her tongue down his
Bubbles
throat.
Bubbles is single.
Please.
I don't like what you're implying.
Unbelievable. And I'm the bad guy. And I'll get emails now Rick brings up great points. You're a savage, though.
You got a nickname, Bubbles. You're asking for it.
Making love to an older grandma. So, no, but my question was going to be, for Rick, how do we actually figure out, and now you want to talk about this could turn sideways real fast, and impact Dave's professional relationship with his boss. How do we actually figure out who the bigger football fan is?
That's a great question.
Dave or John?
It's not a great question.
It needs settling.
It needs to be settled, though.
Figure it out. You know what?
Because in his mind, he thinks it.
This is a real thing behind the scenes.
And that just goes to show you that he's got some real issues.
Behind the scenes, after the show, Dave argues with their boss about who the big... Well, they all look down their nose at all of us, saying that
that's
Ray...
Not, that's
Ray,
not true.
Yeah, you do.
Ray, no, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You both do.
You both say that...
You're football snobs.
Rick, myself, and Ray could not watch football with you guys.
I firmly believe that all three of you are great football fans.
But
great. Don't say no. I'm sitting here telling you that.
But
well, no, I don't want to watch games with you.
Because you think that we're at a lesser level than you. You could say it.
Yeah, probably a little.
Right, you could say
that's
it.
But that doesn't mean you're not great fans.
It's insulting.
All right, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do for the show. I'll call Cassie's sister after the show and see if she'd be able to settle this through therapy.
She'd be like an arbitrator?
Yes.
Like,
just to discover which one of you is the most damaged. Yeah,
most damaged. Well, I mean, we'll set it up as a nicer...
I got stories. He can't compete with my stories.
All right, well, she'll get them out of you, and then we'll
but
we'll
I tell the stories.
Well, I want to hear his stories.
What do you think he's got?
Oof. I've heard a couple of them, and I'm looking forward to the rest.
I mean, did he take out a loan to go to the Super Bowl?
No,
but he started a fight with his wife on the way home from a pumpkin patch or something because they were going to miss the Hall of Fame game.
That the Jets weren't playing in.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which is psychotic behavior.
Well, yeah. This is what we're talking about.
That's what you're up against, buddy.
I fear none of that. I think John's a very good football fan. John pales in comparison.
He can't shine your shoes.
No.
Wow.
No. Not even a little
RJ, you're right. This has been percolating for a while. A long time now.
John's elite.
Well, I joke about a lot of things between the two of them. Damaged relationships, fractures, fissures. I actually believe this is the only thing they would actually dig in about. They really feel this way.
Well, I know I'm right.
Yeah, but he thinks he's right.
Well, he's wrong.
Okay, we'll find out.
Well, okay, what would you say?
You.
Going into it right now. Okay, RJ?
I'm not ready to rule John out.
Raymond?
John, listen. John is a live dog in this.
I think you're a bigger fan of the Giants than he is of the Jets, even though he had season tickets for like decades. I think you would do more to get to a Jets game. But if we're just talking football, I mean, he doesn't miss games at all.
You know what hurts him though, RJ?
What?
You know how like the whole Pete Alonso thing, the Matt Olson contract hurts Pete Alonso?
Yeah.
John watches all the games on Red Zone.
He doesn't spend the money for YouTube TV. How do you explain that away, RJ? I think right there that you have your hands down winner.
That's tough.
He's fine. Tough one for him. He's fine waiting till they get to the 20s. Not me.
No.
I need the 40s, the midfield. That's right.
One day when John was arguing after the show about why he could do Dave's job as well as him, which is also a different troubling argument, Dave goes, how would you be able to recap the games? What if something happened between the 20s? You wouldn't even know what happened.
That's true. You'd have no idea. Raymond, where are you voting on this?
I'm so insulted that you think that the three of us couldn't watch football games.
All right, forget about that. Can you please cut to the chase here? Bigger football fan, me or Winthrop?
I'm not dismissing Winthrop. Not doing that.
He's a live dog.
Fine.
He is.
You know what? But I'm sure he'll get together with you guys and you can party on up. Watch some football between the 20s.
Hey, I got to tell you. I mean, I did stumble across an amazing idea to do Most Hated at the Station instead of Host Sadness.
Right. That was all you. Good for
you. Terrific idea. I think we also just stumbled across an amazing opportunity for YouTube TV. You doing a commercial?
Yeah.
For the package, talking about how you get you need everything inside the 20s, would be hilarious. I don't set up for anything. I don't go from 20
outside the 20s.
Outside the 20s, yeah. I need to be inside the
20s. That's right. John would be the red zone guy, be like, once they're in the 20s, that's when I tag in.
I'm not some red zone for
inside the 20s.
I'm not some red zone loser.
Yeah, I'm not a red zone lackey where I wait until they get into the red zone or the green zone, Coach Coughlin would say.
Oh, no.
What?
In 2 minutes, I could make irrefutable points as to why I'm the bigger football fan. Mm-hmm. John Windrow.
It's not possible. It's not possible.
This is what he wrote.
That's great.
Give him his 2 minutes. I want to hear him.
I want his 2 minutes when he gets to the studio. I want his 2 minutes.
No.
I want his 2 minutes.
It's ridiculous.
Give him his opportunity.
It is ridiculous. It is preposterous.
I got to tell you, in the history of group chats, the picture that we use for our group chat is...
It's elite.
It's perfect.
I agree.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Ian Begley on the putback. When could OG be back for the Knicks?
Mid-March. I think that's kind of seen internally as a realistic possibility. If he continues to go well here and clear the hurdles that he's got to clear in his rehab from that elbow surgery, you're looking at mid-March. If in a perfect world it all goes well, he can come back on the court. So that would be huge, obviously, for New York, because they were rolling with healthy Ananobi, 14-2 in that month of January.
All right, so mid-March, we're looking at another two full weeks before you have the potential of him returning to the Knicks.
This is why I love the show, and this is why I love you.
Why?
And why you're so great at what you do. Could be a psycho, but still savant. I have this awesome OG stat that I took down the other day.
Okay.
So, in the Knicks...
Well, how did I do anything, though?
Well, just by setting me up with the OG
all right.
Sound.
All right.
Well, I didn't come into the show today expecting that we'd have that this would be on the... docket, but I just said I'll take a picture of the stat so when we do bring it up,
right?
And you just so seamlessly brought us into it. In the Knicks' final 13 games before they traded for OG in December, they allowed 124.7 points per 100 possessions, was the worst defensive rating in the NBA.
Okay,
in the final 13 games,
right?
In the 14 games OG played for the Knicks in January, they allowed 104.1 points per 100 possessions, the best defensive rating in the NBA.
So they reduced it by 20. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
In the 11 games they played without OG in February, the Knicks are allowing 120.5 points per 100 possessions.
He is now.
Which is the worst.
Correct, but you've played without Hartenstein a bunch, and like there have been other guys that have been hurt, right? Brunson's missed some time.
Right, but I'm not even, like, that. Forget that last number then.
Right.
13 before.
To go from where you were
the worst,
to where
to the
you got to is an unbelievable jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is an elite defensive player. Why do you think Tibbs was so desperate to get him?
And on top of that, what he was able to do when you were healthy for the offensive side of the ball, too. Because you saw an immediate impact there, too.
He's a terrific fit for this team. But, you know, we remember it was one night, they're playing back-to-back games. Like, he'll be back tomorrow.
I had no idea.
And now he's been out for quite an extended period of time.
They said inflammation. They never said that he had a bone spur in it.
Right. So had to have surgery. Best case scenario, you're looking at another 2 weeks. So this is, I mean, it's extended period of time.
At least the Knicks told him that he had a bone spur in there.
What? You were told?
Anders told me I didn't break my elbow.
Well, they probably didn't know.
Oh, dude, you should have seen the size of this thing. Like, oh, you're fine. It's a bruise. Turns out it was broken.
So they had you play with a broken elbow?
Yeah. Well, look at it now. Look at my arms. This is the left one. This is
right.
The broken one.
Right.
This is the one that wasn't broken.
Okay.
This is as far as I can extend them.
You can't bend it past?
Watch.
Oh, that's not good.
That's as far as I'm pushing on it.
That's not good.
That's not great.
No, you cannot extend it all the way out.
No, that's as far as it goes.
Huh?
It's like a wing.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that.
No, there's nothing.
It's a real problem.
Sharing, caring.
So I want to get to the point where these players start to come back.
Oh, he'll be back.
I know he'll be back.
I'm more concerned about Randall.
Because Randall may not come back.
Oh, no, I think he's going to come back.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
You don't go through what he's going through not to come back and at least try it.
I think the intent is to come back.
Well, I think he's going to at least come back and try it. You got to try it. If you're going to go through all this rehab.
But he comes back, he tries, he plays poorly, then shuts it down. No, he's going to come back and he's going to gut it out until he's re-injured.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So it's either, I mean, no. Because I think what you said the other day is true, too, is that in the back of his mind, he also has to be thinking, I'm not going to get any credit for coming back injured. If I come back and play poorly, I'm going to get killed. So if he comes back and feels like this thing's not right, I can't play like this, I'm not helping my team, There's also the chance that he just says, let's shut this thing down and get surgery.
That's right. I mean, already with a decent amount of the fan base, although I think it's gotten better over the last year or two, with a decent amount of the fan base, they don't love Julius Randle.
No, and I even think the ones that have come around to him a little bit are still hesitant to do that.
Would
still pounce on.
Now, be honest. For whatever reasons, rationale, Julius Randle has not performed well in the postseason with the Knicks, right?
Yeah, first year no help.
I know why, and there's absolute reasons, but you can't deny. I make a statement, he has not performed well. You can't say, yes, he has. The answer is he has not. No. Yeah. So can you afford, in the court of public opinion, to come back again and not play well in the postseason?
Can he? Yeah, he can, if he feels like he's going to be able to deal with it. Like, I'm of the mindset, it wouldn't faze me to the point where I would not try at least
sure.
to come back.
Because and I, he clearly my, is trying.
I'm
he
doing
wants
it for
to
myself,
come back.
I'm doing it for my teammates.
Right.
So, like, in my mind, I was always like, well, me at 75% is better than not having me at all. So I'll gut through it. I'll try to be, whatever I can do. But, I mean, there's from my own personal experience, people don't care if you're playing hurt. They don't. They'll judge you on the result.
That's right.
If you play and you're battling through injury and you play like crap.
And you know what? See, that's a slippery slope that you're walking up to. Because if you come back and you play poorly in the postseason, so now it's and I get it. I understand there's a reason and a rationale for each one, right? He was a one man against an entire team against Atlanta. He was banked up last year with the ankle, and this year it's going to be the shoulder. But nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear the excuses.
Your teammates do. Coaching staff does, organization does.
I'm not saying that even the smart fan, reporters, teammates, organization, they don't look at me like, this guy should not be playing and he's out there and he's gutting through it. I get it. But a big picture, people will say it's another year of Julius Randle in the postseason where he didn't accomplish what we needed him to accomplish.
That's fair. I mean, that's what the people that aren't Julius Randle fans will lean on.
Yeah.
Which sucks. I mean, it's still silly, but I mean, this is a results-oriented business. People want to see, especially with how good this team was playing.
Brunson's got to be back tonight, right?
I hope so. I mean, he was questionable last time I saw.
If he
Hartenstein is playing.
Is playing.
He was off the injury report. I think, Santi, Brunson's still questionable, right, with the neck spasms?
As of now, yeah.
If he
doesn't play, they're not
going
to lose.
If he doesn't play, it's like you're just going to sit there and you're going to watch the game and you know they're going to lose. If he plays, you have juice going into this game tonight.
Yeah, you'll have juice for sure.
Only if he plays. If Brunson doesn't play, you'll turn it on, you'll put your feet up, and you'll say, we're going to lose, but I'll watch the game because
I like
the Knicks.
They'll play hard. They'll hopefully keep it close, but then when push comes to shove, they just won't have enough.
Right.
That's what happened against the Pelicans.
Right, and it was at the end of the day, it wasn't all that competitive because you just don't have the guys to...
You don't have the horses.
...to compete.
No.
Let's go to Dave in Brooklyn. Hey, Dave, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys, I want to just touch on something you had... mentioned a little earlier about being a fan. I grew up, 53 years old. I grew up a Knicks fan. And in 2012, when I moved to Brooklyn at the age of 42, I switched. I completely went from being a Knicks fan to a Nets fan.
How?
I'll tell you how. Well, let me explain. So quickly, when the Knicks, around that time before I moved to Brooklyn in 2012, there was the Anunska Brown-Sanders situation, which I thought was terrible, and just the way that they portrayed it and handled it was awful. And then when they signed Carmelo to a long-term deal, I just threw my hands up in the air after signing so many over-the-hill free agents. It was disgusting. And you know what? The whole James Dolan thing just put me over the edge. My time and my money.
Dave, I get it. I understand you don't like James Dolan. Do you know how many teams you wouldn't be able to root for if you didn't like the owner? How many of these owners you'd be like, you think Raymond likes Jerry Jones? I'm sure he doesn't care for Jerry Jones. I mean, it's part of the business. The Chargers ownership has been a disaster for years. I mean, the Mark Davis.
The owner of the Kansas City Chiefs got an F- from his players.
Right. I mean, Mark Davis looks incompetent.
Well, I think, here's the thing, though. I think that, the way you approach your fandom is different than some people. I think some people look at it as like, hey, it's a relationship, and if I don't feel like I'm getting what I want out of the relationship, then I'll root for someone else.
Yeah, I'm married in sickness and in health, and others did not.
Yeah, you're fully committed.
That's right. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get back into the Jets conversation. We got stuff you missed, and of course at 9:30, we got Mel Kiper Jr. So big 9 o'clock hour, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. And now, a word from TruGreen. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? TruGreen has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TruGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn that's completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy TruGreen's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TruGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TruGreen.com, your dream lawn just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.